We have so much in common, and this is why, you know, this hatred that is happening right now, division that's happening now, is all being manipulated in the abstract. It's because people are not looking each other in the eye.
Right.
They're behind their keyboards. They're empowered by the darkness in their own rooms.
Yeah.
And this is an unhealthy place to be living.
Yeah.
We need more pieces of work, pieces of art, theater, new movies that address very personally the humanity in people. And this is why theater, and this is why what we discovered through this struggle was that it's about a direct connection, a very interpersonal connection with the camera and therefore the audience. Very personal.
That's Oscar and Golden Globe winner Tim Robbins. I was really excited to have him on the show. This is the second time he's been on, and he's talking about sort of the importance of sort of given how divisive things are and have been, not necessarily even just politically, but just generally, that, you know, the importance of connection and people kind of appreciating other people's lives is really important. And is the basis for this virtual production he's done on the basis of Studs Terkel's famous book, Hard Times, where they explore the actual lives of real Americans, everyday Americans, going back, you know, decades. And it was a really great conversation with Tim. We get into a lot of different areas, and just a smart guy, and really loves to use art to kind of better the human condition without getting too preachy. And so I was really, really, really happy and excited to have him on, and honored that he came back a second time. Just a side note, why are there machines where you can make your own seltzer water? There's so many seltzer waters and bottled sparkling waters. Like, what are they, inadequate in some way? Are people unhappy with it? Is this where their lives are? Like, these bubbles are not big enough. This is unacceptable. I'm only counting 427 bubbles in this 8-ounce glass. I'm making my own sparkling water. I'm not an animal. I don't know. It just seems like, it don't give me that for a gift. I would just slap you in the face. I would. All right. Enjoy Tim Robbins. Check out the YouTube channel. Here you go. My guest this week, Oscar and Golden Globe winner for such films as Shawshank Redemption, Dark Waters, Bull Durham, The Player, co-founder and artistic director of the Actors Gang, a theater company, which is putting on a really terrific, unique production, a live virtual production called We Live On, which is running through September 4th. And it's an adaptation of Studs Terkel's famous book, Hard Times, exploring the stories of everyday Americans. It's great to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yes. Tim Robbins, what possessed you to sort of pursue this work and explain to folks a little bit about the sort of how the production is structured and what the stories are that are going to be explored in this?
Well, it's all started out of a lockdown. We workshop at the Actors Gang every week and found that we couldn't gather anymore, so we started gathering on Zoom and trying to figure out what we can do. We found quickly that you can't really do scenes. You can't really have two actors performing at the same time because, first of all, they're in separate places, and second of all, the technology doesn't allow for the kind of rapid-fire, overlapping kind of dialogue that you need in theater. So we started doing monologues, started with some Shakespeare, and then we started working on this incredible book that I've known for many years called Hard Times by Studs Terkel, which is an oral history of the Depression. So it's, the book has maybe 70 people in it, just normal Americans that went through a hard time. And Studs talked to them, and their stories are truly inspiring. They're stories of the struggle of being unemployed, of being hungry, homeless, all stories that are reflective of the time we're living through. But what's the reason why we wanted to do it was because as we read through these stories, we found such resilience and strength and hope and these people that really survived a tough time. And we figured this is going to be a story that's going to be important to be heard. There are going to be people that are living through similar circumstances, and we need to look at a way to figure out how to inspire hope in people at this time. And we found in our workshop production that we did in June that the audiences were responding in such a strong way. And, you know, each part, there's three parts, each part is an hour and 20 minutes. And we were finding that people were staying in the Zoom room for an hour and a half after talking about it and sharing feelings and sharing experiences of their own and of their grandparents and telling their stories. And it's been a beautiful, beautiful experience. And so we wanted to expand it and reach out to the rest of the country and invite them into the theater virtually. We're doing it. Of course, we are, you know, an arts organization. We could use donations, but we also understood that this is a time when people don't have too much, and that we're offering the play for people if they need to, if they need it to be free, that then there's a way to get tickets. It's just such a great opportunity for us because we've toured all over the United States. We've done 40 of the United States, we've done 5 continents throughout the years touring with our productions. And the last time we were in New York, we were, it was quite a while ago, and we know we have a audience there. We'd love to check in with old friends there.
Yeah, what strikes me is about the relevance of the production to modern day. You know, when you go back, I'm familiar with the book. I went back and read it, listened to it again, and also read the brief description of the different stories that you guys are focusing on. That a lot of the issues that's at the center of those stories back in the Depression are still with us today. And so there's a real relatability to this, which I assume was maybe something you stumbled upon or you kind of knew going in.
What I knew going in was that Stud Circle, the best chronicler of the American voice. And I'm talking about normal Americans, people that are usually not heard from in history books, the anonymous people that didn't really have spectacular celebrity driven lives, just people that worked.
Yeah. He had businessmen, farmers, hobos, striptease artists, a repo men. Like it was the cloth of America, the salt of the earth, the basic Americans. Yeah.
Yes. And that's, something that we forget sometimes in showbiz, you know, to tell those stories, the stories of regular working folks. And this is what Studs did so well and so beautifully laid out in his book. You know, there's a couple of names you may have heard of, you know, Cesar Chavez,
right,
Dorothy Day, but most of the people are people you haven't heard of, and which is what the appeal was for us. And also I invited about 8 of them, company members, to write their own stories of their own families and their experiences in the Depression. And those are quite beautiful as well.
They really are. You provided a link that I watched and that, you know, it was very personal. I thought those were really powerful. And, you know, you said something interesting. There's a quote of yours that says, as actors, I think it's important to find this kind of material to wrestle with it. And that really struck me. Why do you feel it's important to wrestle with it and wrestle with it in what way?
Well, mainly because it reminds us of our humanity. Mm. And in a time where we're being encouraged to be divisive and be confrontational and to be tribal in our affiliations, I think it was important to remind people that we have a lot in common. And there's something that all of us in this country want and need. And I think we have to get past these partisan divisions and all this fighting, we're going to survive.
Oh, absolutely.
And these people, you know, these people found a way in the Depression. They found a way forward, and they found a way through common humanity. And this is what Studs was amazing at, was to remind us that we're human, that we have hearts, that we should have more compassion for each other.
Yeah, it's funny, too, how it puts things in context. My mother's 93, and she grew up in the Depression, and her parents were here, came here from Italy. And she talked about being a little girl and that her father worked in a factory. Now, in Italy, he would have had a white-collar job. But, you know, in America, they took what they could take to start a new life. And he would come home. He'd walk like a mile and a half one direction, didn't have transportation. And she would remember she'd buy her an orange, and he'd bring this orange home. And it was just, it was a big deal. Like, it was a luxury to have like fresh fruit at that time. And,
oh yeah.
So it just like, even just talking about it gives me chills a little bit. It's like, you know, now we bitch about that. Our car doesn't go fast enough, or the food's not coming fast enough at the restaurant. Right. And here's my mother, like, that orange like made my day. She just loved her father so much. He died when she was young. He was only 42. She was a young teenager. And you could see her light up, just how much that meant to her, that he just brought her an orange. That's all. It was amazing.
Yeah. There's one character in this part two. It talks about being sick when she was a kid, and her mom came home with oranges and bananas.
Yeah.
And how that... she almost wished she could be sick sometimes just so she could have the oranges and bananas.
Well, I got to tell you something you said a few minutes ago about connecting people. I was before the COVID, I was doing a one-man off-Broadway show where I would bring people on stage and just talk to them about their lives. The premise of the show is that if we're kind of disconnected, and if we talk, we connect. And if we connect, we realize we have more in common than we think. And it's just a very clean, like, idea of you come on stage and I just start to ask you questions. It was born out of my stand-up and talking to audiences and acting that I've done. And the stories that I've gotten have been incredible. And then what resonated with me is when you said that people would spend an hour and a half in the virtual room afterwards talking. And that was happening after these shows. People who didn't know each other were going up and saying, I really loved your story. I had a transgender person on stage who was wonderful. And there were people that went up to the person and said, I didn't understand what transgender was, and now I do. And it, the most fulfilling part of the show was seeing these strangers connecting after this hour and a half experience that they had together. So I think it's really important.
We have so much in common. And this is why, you know, this hatred that is happening right now, the division that's happening now, is all being manipulated in the abstract. It's because people are not looking each other in the eye.
Right.
They're behind their keyboards. They're empowered by their darkness in their own rooms.
Yeah.
And this is an unhealthy place to be living.
Yeah.
We need more pieces of work, pieces of art, theater, new movies that address very personally the humanity in people. And this is why theater, and this is why what we discovered through this struggle was that it's about a direct connection, a very interpersonal connection with the camera and therefore the audience. Very personal.
Well, I think, you know, it's funny. It's a silver lining in COVID, because I dare say if we didn't have the pandemic, maybe this concept wouldn't have come up, but the accessibility of it is fantastic, and it does work. And watching the video that I watched in preparation for this, like, I was totally drawn in. And it's just, you know, it's your actors, just, it's not on sets. It's just people sort of sitting in their homes performing this material or telling these stories. And I was like leaning forward, like into the, my wife's like, why are you so close to the screen on your computer? I'm like, I don't know. I'm getting sucked into here, but it's really powerful and it's important. And I applaud you for doing it. And so thank you. It's called We Live On. People can go to www.theactorsgang.com. Maybe I'll have you back on when you have more time. I'd love to talk to you more about this, and we could promote it some more as the production is happening. But I'd love to talk to you some more sometime.
Would love to.
Okay. Tim Robbins, it's great to have you on. We Live On, a live virtual world premiere production. Great to have you on. Congratulations on all the success, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, that was Tim Robbins. How great is he? Just such a smart guy with his priorities in the right place. Anyway, hope you enjoyed it. Hope you check out the YouTube channel, youtube.com/PaulMercurio. And like I said, don't buy sparkling water makers. It's absolutely ridiculous. And we'll see you next week, everybody.